Last week, some 450 doctors, nurses, ministers, and experts on aging from around the country met at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. On the agenda, the looming crisis in health care as the baby boom generation grows older. The gathering was meant as a wake-up call to churches to step up their efforts to meet the health care needs of the elderly. As part of that mobilization, some experts are calling for an expansion of a form of nursing that goes well beyond standard practices. NPR's David Molpis reports.
P.B. Cole, who turns 87 next month, lives by himself in a small, neat apartment in Durham, North Carolina. He has heart problems, has faced two bouts of bladder cancer, plus an operation on a stomach ulcer, and he's blind. He's a man of remarkable good humor, but does have his moments of frustration, such as keeping his medicine straight in the special tray provided for him.
I have some problem with the 10 different medicines to get them all spaced out right. And if I happen to turn it over and get them mixed up, I just throw things away.
Many older adults like P.B. Cole still can manage to live comfortably in their homes if they can get a little help. Often, though, that assistance is nowhere to be found, and the elderly end up in nursing homes and hospitals. Institutional care, however, may be less of an option for millions of seniors in the not-too-distant future. Harold Koenig, a professor of geriatric psychiatry at Duke University, says the health care system will be overwhelmed by the numbers and the costs.
We have no choice. We will be forced into looking into the community for other resources to help make up the deficit of what government-funded programs are just not going to be able to meet.
Koenig, who chaired this month's conference on religion, aging, and healthcare, sponsored by Duke and the Templeton Foundation, points to projections that the current Medicare budget is likely to double in the next 7 years. That's before the biggest increase in elderly demographics is felt. Experts on aging believe that if religious groups can support more older adults in their homes, the frequency and length of hospital admissions will go down. In addition, Harold Koenig contends that stronger ties between churches and their elderly members can help keep faith strong. He cites hundreds of studies showing that when faith is strong, rates of depression, hypertension, alcohol abuse, and other health problems are lower.
Religious involvement is correlated with better health, better mental health, better physical health, and less need for services.
Many religious groups, of course, already run hospitals, nursing homes, and other health ministries. But what's needed now, these experts say, is a more aggressive and professional effort by individual churches, synagogues, and mosques to deliver a wider range of services to a greater number of the elderly. One of the models touted at this month's conference is what's known as parish or congregational nursing. This is a registered nurse, most often a member of the congregation, who visits the elderly and coordinates volunteers.
The parish nurse in particular can train volunteers on what do you do when you go into somebody's home where somebody has Alzheimer's disease or a severe disability and a stroke. How can you help and support that family member? The parish nurse can help train members of the congregation to take blood pressures, to take a finger stick glucose levels, to do all sorts of different screening to identify people at high risk.
Anne Drennan has been working in this relatively new nursing specialty for a couple of years as a parish nurse for Watt Street Baptist Church in Durham.
I'm only a small part of the health ministry at the church.
A former hospital nurse, Drennan donates more than 20 hours a week, supervising 30 members of her congregation caring for the elderly, and she makes house calls herself. Among her clients is P.B. Cole. Their visits always begin with a bear hug.
Good morning.
Good morning, P.B. Glad to see you today.
My friend.
Oh, how you feeling?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Good. Good. Oh. While we're up, we're going to go on and check your weight, okay?
All right.
P.B. Cole counts himself pretty lucky. He now has half a dozen volunteers regularly tending to his needs.
Monday, where the church people come by and read my mail. Tuesday, I can go to town. Wednesday, Ann comes. Friday, the therapist comes. Sunday, Dolores comes by. So I really don't live alone.
Anne Drennan does the usual medical things a nurse would do for someone in Mr. Cole's condition, but she also keeps relatives informed, who often, as in Mr. Cole's case, live far away. And she spends a lot of time acting as an advocate for the elderly with the healthcare system.
They tell me their doctors won't listen to them. They don't think they're really sick. And I try to assess the situation and then call the doctor from their home, and have been very successful in getting some care to people who were so frustrated by, number one, either can't get through to the doctor or get a timely visit, or don't know which of their doctors they ought to be calling for a problem.
Also, what sets parish nurses apart from others is that they are ministering to body and soul in ways that even church-run hospitals rarely attempt. Parish nurses often talk about faith matters with these patients from their congregations, and they sometimes pray together.
Generally, just ask God's guidance for us, and usually trying to discern what it is that the decision that needs to be made about improving their health, steps they need to take to decide whether to go into a retirement facility, or steps they need to take about changing physicians, or whatever the issue is.
On most visits, like this one, Drennan's pace is efficient, but she never seems rushed, always taking time to listen. And visits with P.B. Cole end with a good old-fashioned foot rub. Twice, by looking for signs of swelling in his feet, she has recognized the onset of congestive heart failure and kept him out of the hospital with a quick alteration in medication. It's just the kind of detailed home care that, if widely replicated, could substantially reduce the health costs of the elderly and keep them connected to a community that cares about them. In this setting, the foot rub is almost like a ritual foot washing. Drennan pours a lotion on the scaling, blue-tinted feet and caresses them back to pink smoothness with a touch so gentle that P.B. Cole is able to nod off.
I try to always do his feet last so I can just leave him propped up on the reclining on his rocker kind of thing.
I'm not a good host at all. I let her go by herself. I just sit here.
Okay.
There are currently 4,000 to 5,000 active parish nurses who have been certified in the specialty. The movement started among Lutherans in the Midwest, but is now spread across the country and into other Protestant denominations, as well as Roman Catholic parishes. The model of exactly what they do and how they are funded is still evolving. About half the nurses are paid, mainly by individual churches. But many advocates of the effort say all should eventually be paid so that this can become a more attractive career option in nursing. There was considerable talk at this month's conference on health and aging about the possibility of government funding through the Bush administration's new Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. Some in attendance found that intriguing, but others see too many complications. Taking care of the sick has been a natural part of church work for millennia. But geriatric psychiatrist Harold Koenig says right now the vision of most churches is too limited to meet the coming needs of the elderly.
As we care for each other, that is where, you know, you really find spirituality. That will produce real health and real healing.
David Malpas, NPR News, Durham, North Carolina.